Good morning. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WINA, Real Life with Jennifer Till, brought to you by Virginia National Bank. And, you know, this week on NPR, I heard a segment about banking and the advice on, that I took away from this segment was that local banks, strong local banks, are the way to go. So I would really encourage you to head on over to Virginia National Bank. They are just always so wonderful to deal with. Real Life is the show, as you know, if you've been listening for a while, that's dedicated to women who are ready to love life and make joy a part of the daily dialogue. So here we are, ladies. It's another Saturday morning. It's cold. It's early. I'm drinking lemon mate this morning, which is really, really yummy. And so I'd like to invite you to go get your favorite yummy drink and find a quiet place to let the next 60 minutes be just another way that you can be kind to yourself. Children with learning disabilities don't just struggle with education. They struggle with life. Often diagnosed later in the educational process, it's not uncommon for the very bright and talented children to label themselves as stupid. The stories that they tell themselves revolve around failure and shame and an inability to succeed at what others seem to do with ease. My guests this morning want to help change that. Dargan Cogshall is the owner and director of Learning RX, and Megan Richards is the consultation director. Learning RX is a local company that believes that they can help train the brain, and in doing so, solve the causes, not just the symptoms, of learning disorders. Good morning, and thank you for joining me.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's cold and it's early.
Cold and early, but we have a mug of coffee,
yeah.
A warm studio, so...
Dargan, in many ways for parents, nothing is more real and, I know for me personally, kind of heartbreaking around the difficulties that our children have to struggle with. How big of a problem is this in your world with what you're doing?
Well, obviously every phone call that we get, there's typically a crisis on the other end of the line. In terms of kind of a macro problem, anywhere from, 5 to 20%, depending on what study and what diagnosis you look at, of our student population has a learning struggle. And that is a huge, huge number. And so, again, it depends on the, does that learning struggle manifest itself in a behavioral challenge? Does it cause family strife? I mean, there's some learning struggles that individuals suffer in silence, and there's some that are, that again are brought to the surface and we see through behavior changes and strife it can cause in school life, family life, church life, wherever the student may be involved. So it is a huge problem, and it is a motivator for me to get into this business and to bring this asset to Charlottesville.
So when a child is struggling with learning disability, the way you just described it sounds like it can and does throw the whole family system out of balance.
Yeah, it does. I mean, if you have a student that is struggling, first of all, school is mandated, right? You have to make progress. You get report cards. You have parent-teacher conferences. There can be, as students start to fall behind in school, they lose self-esteem and they lose self-confidence. And that begins to impact every facet of their life. And parents who don't have a solution for that, perhaps they look at the school system and say, the school system should fix my problem. Well, that's technically not what the school system is in the business of doing. If they don't have a solution, then they get frustrated. And things like the homework hour can become a pitted battle in the family and cause a lot of stress, not to mention, the low self-esteem. And, it's it's a very big problem today.
Megan, can you tell us, so you're talking about cognitive brain training in order to address some of these issues. What does that mean? And what does cognitive even mean?
Cognitive is your brain and how it thinks and how all your different skills work together to help you learn. So what we're doing is we're working on different skills like short-term memory, long-term memory, processing speed, visual processing, all the different components that we use when we are introduced to something new. And we're helping those become stronger so that it's easier for you to learn. You learn faster and there's less anxiety when you have something new.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WINA Real Life with Jennifer Till, brought to you by Virginia National Bank. And if you would like to join in this conversation, if you think your child is struggling in school and you'd like to ask Megan or Dargan a question about that, call in at 977-1070, 977-1070. And later this hour, we'll have a mother who has come to Learning Rx and who's going to share her story. And it sounds like Megan's going to put me to the test a little later on, too, which makes me a little nervous, but I'm okay with that. Dargan, how did you... I know I've known you in different settings around Charlottesville, and I think the last time we saw each other was over at Darden during some CBG function or something.
Correct.
And I'm wondering, how did you come to Learning Rx? As my understanding of Learning Rx, it's a nationwide network, and so you are now the owner and director of Learning Rx here in Charlottesville.
Correct.
How'd you come to that?
Well, you know, I've been to UVA twice, and
as a student.
Did an undergrad and my master's of business at UVA, and to this point in my career, I've been responsible for starting or helped start several businesses that have ranged anywhere from biotech to, you know, web services, and I've been fortunate in my career. And after exiting the last business I helped get off the ground, I started to look around at what I could do. And being a recent father, your priorities change. And my children now are my priority. And so in my career, I wanted to look for something that advanced the welfare of children. And looking around, doing more due diligence, I knew it had to be in education. Because an educated child has more choices in life. And so I looked at business opportunities that revolved around education. I interviewed school systems, teachers, special ed teachers, and determined that it had to be a business opportunity kind of outside of the system.
We need to take a short break, okay, Dargan, but when we come back, I'd like to hear about your personal creative destruction process.
Yes.
We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WINA, Real Life with Jennifer Till, brought to you by Virginia National Bank. And if you're just joining us this morning, I am joined by Dargan Cogshall and Megan Richards, who are both of Learning Rx here in Charlottesville. If you'd like to be part of this conversation, if you have questions or concerns about some learning issues that you're noticing in your child, feel free to call us at 977-1070, 977-1070. So, Dargan, you were when you and I were talking earlier, you were telling me about your every seven-year cycle of your creative destruction process, I think is how you said it.
Yeah, it's kind of a reinvention of self. You know, again, I've been through a variety of industries, the biotech industry, web services industry, internet gaming industry, and about every 6 to 7 years, I do a personal audit. You know, are you headed in the right direction? Is it aligned with your values? And, you know, as I transitioned out of my last venture, Again, my life had changed. I had a family and children, and my priorities changed. And I knew that I had to be in a business that made material differences in the welfare of family, primarily through kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew that, that education was, again, the key to a productive future for a child. And I was alarmed at the number of children that I saw falling through the cracks kind of in our standardized education system. And so I looked for an intervention, a way to help those children outside of the typical school structure and school system. And I did due diligence for a long time and found this license program out of Colorado Springs. And today there are about 70 centers located. But I went for 13 days and I basically lived with the founder. And he took me through his personal journey of being dyslexic and going into the field of optometry as his calling, hoping to solve his inability to read. And when he discovered it, it wasn't a visual or sensory issue. It was a cognitive issue. He put together a multidisciplinary team to develop the program we have today that deals with the deficient skills that Megan mentioned that impact our learning. And he realized that was why he was having a reading struggle. He had auditory processing deficiencies and processing speed deficiencies. And so it was so intuitive. It was like one of those epiphany moments. I get it. I understand today why children who have these deficiencies are not thriving in a school system who, again, is judged and compensated by taking a general population of students, moving them to a certain academic standard. Well, what if your child learns differently? What if they have a handicap or a skill deficiency? They can get special education services at a school, but you know, as the director of special ed for the Orange County Schools in California, who's become very familiar with our program, says they tend to accommodate the disability or the struggle rather than, or as she calls it, we kept running into roadblocks, and we would just work detours around those roadblocks. Well,
so never really addressing the issue.
Never addressed the cause of the struggle. And so, you know, students with their problems just tend to get passed on to the next grade or level or teacher. And that struck me as being problematic and being having this kind of half of me that is entrepreneur, I want to figure out a solution to a problem. This intuitive program, I had that moment, that distress. Again, it didn't matter where my backgrounds were and where my experience. This made sense to me, and this is where I wanted to go, and it was aligned with, again, my values and my goals in life, and that's how I came to it. And I did a lot of due diligence. I talked to mothers whose children had been through the program. I talked to wounded warriors who had benefited from the program. I met the founder, went out and was trained, and now we have our own students and our own results, so they're ours. And Megan will tell you, because she has worked with some of our most challenging students, this is what life is all about, doing well by doing good. And we're fundamentally changing the trajectory of these kids, their college choices. And some may not go to college, but again, then maybe their vocational choices or career choices, or maybe the objective of the family is just to have a life that's more in harmony.
It sounds like by supporting the development of their cognitive skills that might be lacking, you're helping them reframe the stories that they're telling about themselves. Rather than coming from this place of deficiency or being a failure, that they actually can succeed at what they're doing.
Right. One of the things that you notice when you're working with these kids is when they come in, the parents talk about the child they used to have, you know, before they started school.
Yeah.
They were confident and they would go and play with other kids and they said, I can do things. And then they start struggling and those things they say to themselves, they change.
Mm-hmm.
And then through the program, as you're watching them develop their skills and they see that they can do things, even if they're hard, the voice starts to come back as I can. And
yeah. I was watching a video on your website last night, and there was this story, I think, Dargan, you were telling about a student who had accomplished something and his, do you call them teachers?
Trainer
gave him a high five, and the student kind of looked astonished and said, you mean I'm not behind? I've always been behind. This is the first time I've not been behind. I mean, what a great feeling that must be for you all, providing the support for these kids.
Yeah, it is wonderful, because the kids who typically come into our center, and we're talking about the remedial cases, right? Although we do have an enhancement side of our business, but the remedial cases are the most rewarding. They come in with labels.
Yeah.
Their parents have drugged them around to be diagnosed with this or that, and not necessarily that a diagnosis helps the issue, but they come in with labels. Maybe they've been in the slow reading group, the breakout group. Maybe they're getting special services. Maybe they've gone to this therapist or that therapist. They fundamentally don't feel very good about when they come into us. It's almost like, oh gosh, what's mom dragging me to now? What's the flavor of the month? And so to be able to take these children who are very kind of wary of what is this? Pair them with a trainer who is not there to label or judge or grade or score them, but to build their deficient skills up. They quickly win their trust, and we find these children come out of their shell. They start performing and working hard for this trainer when in their life or school they have this conflict and labels. It's magic.
That's wonderful. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm hoping that one of your students' mothers is going to call in, and stay tuned, because I'm going to get some brain training testing or something. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WINA, Real Life with Jennifer Till, brought to you by Virginia National Bank. And if you're just joining us this morning, my guests are Dargan Cogschul, and Megan Richards, who are both of Learning RX. If you'd like to join us in this conversation, you can call 977-1070, 977-1070. And I have to admit that in this moment I have sweaty palms, because Megan has a gleam in her eye because they're about to do this test with me. So,
well, I think test is the wrong word. We don't necessarily use that nomenclature in our business, because it causes angst. So let's talk about what the process is. The first thing a parent does is they need to know the cause of the learning struggle. And so at Learning RX, we administer an assessment, a cognitive assessment. That's the first thing that happens when the parent says, I think I have a problem. They bring them in. It's an hour and 15 minute evaluation conducted by Megan.
Okay.
It's not a test. It's not, we don't care what children know. We only care how they think. So the testing procedures are more game-like. So it's actually
a
lighthearted.
So we're going to play a game.
So once we do the assessment, we're able to determine whether or not they have a memory issue or an auditory processing issue or a visualization issue. And then we administer one-on-one training targeting those deficient skill areas.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is we're going to assume you came in,
okay,
you assessed, this is hypothetical, and say that your working memory and your processing speed.
Does this have to do with me tested, losing my car keys?
No, it doesn't have to do with you losing your car keys. But that may be some symptomatic evidence that you need to come to our center.
Okay.
Anyway, so say your profile is below average short-term memory, working memory, below average processing speed. And this would be a specific procedure we would conduct in our center in a one-on-one setting with a trainer to build up your proficiency in those skill areas.
Okay.
Megan?
Okay. Okay, Megan, so I just want to say you are a clinical psychologist, right?
Right. I practiced for 5 years as a clinical psychologist, most, you know, doing psychoeducational evaluations and things like that.
Okay. So I'm in good hands.
Yeah. Okay. I'll be gentle.
Okay.
All right.
Here we go.
So what I want you to do is I'm going to say two numbers, and I want you to remember the last number I say and add it to the new number I say. Okay.
To the new first number, you say?
So if I said 1 and 3, you would say 4. But I want you to remember the 3, and I'll give you a new number.
Okay.
Okay?
Now my palms are really sweaty.
All right. 2 and 4.
6.
2.
Okay, so... there we have it. I need you to give me the directions again.
Okay.
So you're giving me two numbers.
So if I say
I'm adding
them. 4.
Right.
You said 6. That was correct.
Right.
Remember this 4.
4. And then I add the 4 to the next number you're saying.
Which is 2.
Gotcha. 6.
Okay. 5.
7.
5.
10.
2.
12.
Okay. You added the 2 to your number, not my number.
7.
There you go. 2.
4.
3.
5.
5.
This is hard.
This is thrilling. Hard is negative language, and we don't allow it to go into our session.
Now
this is thrilling.
My feet are sweating.
But, Sam, I'm having a lot of fun.
All right. Okay, where were we?
All right. Let's see if we can get 6 in a row. Ready?
Do you use the metronome?
Oh, that would be cool.
I can try that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh. And I can only answer on the beat, right?
Right. So,
tell us, Dargan, tell us about the philosophy.
Yeah, we use the metronome. We train with the metronome. It does a couple of things. It works our divided attention because you're going to have to listen for the beat to deliver your response. And so a lot of the children that come to us have attention deficits. That's why they're struggling in school. And so that works the divided attention, and it allows us to raise the intensity, because as you develop a skill, it's like working out in the gym and you have 10 pounds. I want to take you to 15.
Okay.
And so it allows us to raise the intensity.
Okay. And Megan, I heard that you just slowed it down. So I thank you.
All right. So I want you to give your response on the beat.
Okay. And so tell me the directions again, please.
Okay. So I'll give you two numbers.
Yeah.
And you add those together. But remember the last number I said and add it to the new number I give.
Okay.
You. Okay. So
I want you all to play along here with us, because I don't want to be the only one in this boat.
And we're going to try to get 6 in a row. Okay.
Okay.
You can do this.
Okay.
1 and 4.
5.
2.
6.
A little faster on the
beat.
3.
I forgot about the beat. 5.
3.
5.
Okay.
No. I think I need to come see you guys.
Yeah. No. Let's try to see if we can get on beat. That would be good.
Okay.
So I'll say my numbers on beat, and so then it would be like 4, 2, 6. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, that works better for me.
3, 5, 8, 2, 7, 3, 5, 4, 7. Okay. 1, 5, 2, 3. Yeah, we got 6.
You got it. And
you
so you would get a high five. You would get a lot of praise.
Because
you get a lot of praise. You'd get some chips because the children, chips like Thomas poker chips.
Oh, okay.
As you work really hard in our center, we give you points, and the children are motivated by that, getting points. It's amazing. Right. They can hold their chips in their hand and see how many they've gotten. And we reward for effort. You worked really hard to get that. Now, I'm just going to tell you.
I did.
That over the 12 to 24 weeks that we would work with you, we would take you to much higher levels on that, much faster and higher levels. And so you would see a dramatic progression in your skills, those memory and processing skills.
Do people my age come in?
Well, our oldest student is 86.
I'm not in that.
No, I know. I know. Our youngest student is 6. We all can benefit from cognitive training. So we can work with a 6-year-old pre-reader. That's as young as we take it. And a growing market for us at LearningRx across the system are senior citizens who, as we start to age, we enter cognitive decline. You know, we begin to cognitively decline. And, of course, the threat of a progressive disease state like dementia and Alzheimer's changes everything. And so the baby boomers are going to, I think, become one of the largest segments for us because they understand they can invest in their physical bodies and stay younger and live longer. They're also going to quickly understand it takes investing in your brain, development
cognitive,
of your brain.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Cognitive abilities. You know, I had worked at the Alzheimer's Association for a number of years, and the statistic that was around when I was there is by the time you're 85, you have a 50% chance, and I don't even think that's related to genetics, of developing Alzheimer's disease. And so with the baby boomers coming into senior.
Yeah, this year.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that I think this is a great way for us to keep ourselves healthy.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, the research is coming out that more and more the cognitive training can do things like prevent car accidents. I mean, as a senior, the reason you lose your independence is an accident because your attention fails. You're slow at processing and making decisions. Studies are coming out that the more we work on building up what is called the cognitive reserve, the longer we can stave off those progressive disease states or the rate of decline.
You know, I'm very aware I'm becoming aware of having to focus and concentrate more on activities that I never had to even think about before. So I think I might be one of your...
Come on, we'd love to show you. Yeah.
All right, stay tuned, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WINA, Real Life with Jennifer Till, brought to you by Virginia National Bank. And if you're just joining us this morning, I just had a really fun time with this assessment that was administered to me by Megan Richards, who is the consultation director of LearningRx, and also joining us this morning is Dargan Cogshall, who's the owner and director of LearningRx. And I think more passionately, you want to be known as the guy who's helping to make a difference in children's lives.
Yeah, taking struggling students and turning them into confident learners.
So we have a caller this morning, and I believe this is a mother who has had an experience at LearningRx, and I'm gonna bring her in. Good morning, PJ. Welcome to Real Life with Jennifer Till.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. So you've had an experience with your child at LearningRx.
Yes.
Can you tell us about that?
Sure. One of the things I know that Megan and Dargan have focused on is assisting kids who are struggling. But one of the interesting things about doing brain training is it can help anybody. I noticed that my son was struggling with attention in the classroom, just kind of sitting still. He's 7, sitting still and listening to the teacher, but it wasn't showing up in any of his work. So his grades were fine. His report cards were fine. The teacher-parent conferences were fine. But through volunteering in the class, I noticed this. So I went to Learning Rx and just talked to Megan and Dargan about it, and they had mentioned let's do one of the assessments just to see if there's anything that shows up. And in fact, it was one of the cognitive areas that showed up low for my son was in the area of attention. So he's been going to Learning Rx now for, I guess it's about 10 weeks. And his teacher has commented to me what an improvement she's seen. My son has also commented, being able to put language around, I'm able to focus better, Mommy, or I'm able to sit, and when the other kids are talking, it's not as distracting. Mm-hmm. So it's been very helpful for us. And it's kind of interesting if you think about the brain as a muscle similar to the heart. If you want to improve your health, you have to exercise. If you want to improve your brain function, you have to exercise different parts of your brain. So it's been very helpful.
That's great. Megan, were you working with her son?
I'm not his trainer. Mm-hmm. I did the initial assessment.
You
to
did.
See
did you do that little
was.
Assessment with him that you just did with me?
He's well, a little young for that. That's actually one of our drills that we do. It's not part of the assessment.
Okay.
So, no.
Yeah. PJ, it must be, you know, it sounds like you were very aware of what was going on with your son. I imagine it must be sometimes hard to catch the attention aspect of this if it's not showing up, as you said, PJ, on the report card or on the tests.
Right. I had the fortunate situation of having some background in understanding kind of brain functioning, and then coupling that with understanding it's important to exercise different parts of the brain, and then seeing my son in the classroom and noting that his grades were okay, I could still tell he was struggling. And kind of, it's almost sort of like mom's intuition almost, that something's not quite right. And so I thought, well, and if it is okay, if his assessment shows up and he's fine, well then okay, I was wrong, but at least I was able to investigate a little bit. I would highly recommend parents who have some intuition that something might not be right, but it's not showing up, to go ahead and get an assessment.
Boy, I think that's great advice. And I could also see how it might be scary as a parent to actually find that out. You know, like you might have a kind of a sense of it, but then to actually have, I think I might be, my projection is I might be afraid of getting some kind of label, that my son would be labeled with something.
And I understand that. There aren't any labels, I don't think, for needing to exercise different parts of the brain. And I think that's probably just the way I look at it. There's not a label for my son's lack of attention. I think if it were coupled with a couple of other pieces, it might be even heading in the direction of being termed, you know, ADD or ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't, because it's not coupled with other pieces. And even if he were, the brain exercises are great training to help kids move out of the struggles that they have in being able to attend in school.
Yeah, so PJ's son was not formally medically diagnosed as having ADD or ADHD. A lot of the children who come to us, they do have that diagnosis, and as PJ will tell you, getting the diagnosis doesn't solve the problem,
right,
regardless of what label you put on it. And in this country, there has been a trend that when a label or a diagnosis, especially if it's an attention issue, is put on a child, it's to manage the symptoms. And the way we typically do that is through medication. And medication doesn't get at the root of the cause of the attention issue. And there is now kind of a growing trend of parents, as they're becoming educated about this, and PJ's especially educated about this, that there are alternative approaches. There are ways that through hard work and focused drilling and repetition, again, take the gym mentality, the heart, you know, building up the heart muscle, changing your body mass index, losing weight, it has to be very targeted. You have to do it frequently, and you have to do it over a long period of time. And there is no magic pill for any of that. It's hard work. And so, you know, I think a mother like PJ, she appreciates that approach versus, oh, what's the easy button? Let's just give some stimulants, and the child will sit still in class. That still isn't helping his cognitive deficit.
So externally, he looks okay, but internally, the same struggle is still happening for him.
That is correct.
With the medicated approach.
Yeah, and we're not MDs. We don't dispense medical advice. We just let people know there's an alternative approach to dealing with these attention issues.
PJ is one mother who has come forward to help her son. Who is it who usually contacts you? Is it mothers or fathers or both? Or
I would say 99.9% of the phone calls that we get into our center are mothers. They're mothers that either, like PJ, are saying, I know there's just something not right. And at the earlier we address it, the more successful his academic career and onward, you know, is going to be. Or they're mothers who are in just outright crisis. I've tried it's had an IEP at school. I'm not getting the resources there. We've tried tutoring. We've tried, you know, a variety of different interventions. We don't know what to do next. And, you know, so often that is falling to the mother, and it's typically the mother who's helping with the homework hour. Again, that can be homework 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe our society hasn't evolved, you know, as much that we don't get a lot of calls from dads that are looking for the solution.
What do you mean our society hasn't evolved?
Well, I would like to think that dads take just as much, responsibility looking for these solutions. I would appreciate getting more calls from
dads.
Yeah.
Yeah. PJ, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Megan, did you want to say something?
I was going to say, in the consultations, though, a majority of the dads do come.
Oh, that's good to hear. Thank you. So where can we find out more about Learning Rx?
You can find the web is a great place. Go to learningrx.com/Charlottesville to get information on our center.
Okay.
We have a Facebook page. We also, Learning Rx Charlottesville, we have a YouTube channel where you reviewed testimonies from mothers.
Yeah, that was a good place
and
to
students.
Mm-hmm.
And our phone number is 220-7475. And the first step is just getting that assessment, that an hour and 15-minute assessment to know if it's a cognitive issue.
And you're going to be doing something with James coming up, right?
Yeah, we're on next Friday with the best seat in the house,
okay.
And we're going to talk about how these same skills enhance performance on the athletic field.
Great. Thank you both so much, Dargan and Megan.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your time this morning. It's all the time we do have today. Thank you for spending part of your weekend with me this morning. Remember to log on to jennifertill.com, where you can listen to this show again if you'd like, or other past episodes of the show. And until next Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, remember to ask yourself, what's the kindest thing I can do for me right now? See you next week.
And I will be. You'll all see I'm the one.